Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Support Technical Exchange session. The topic for today is efficient programming for large models. This session is scheduled to be an hour in length, but may extend for an hour and a half for the presentation and question and answer period. If you have not yet joined the web conference, please do so now. The web conference address is available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange website. Today's webcast will include an online presentation, and once you are in the web conference, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the web conference at this time, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange website and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain a PDF file of the presentation. During this presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. The lines will then be opened for a question and answer period. For those of you who joined us via the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. This presentation and question and answer session are being recorded, so you can replay it at your convenience. If you object to the recording, you may drop now and listen to the replay later. In the next few days, a video replay of this presentation, including the question and answer session, will be available on IBM.com. When speaking, do not include any information that you do not want shared publicly, such as confidential information, your name, your company name. Check the previous webcast tab on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site for the replay. Today's presenters are Guan Feng and Anisha Panicker. Guan has been with iLog Optimization Technical Support for over 7 years, supporting the full suite of IBM iLog Optimization products. Anisha has been with iLog Support Chain Technical Support for several years, supporting the full suite of IBM iLog Support Chain products, which fundamentally rely on the optimization products. Together, they have been working with optimization customers throughout a variety of industries. At this time, I will turn the session over to Anisha.
Thank you, Valerie. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's session, Efficient Programming of Large Models. Let's move on to the next slide. Slide 2, please. So today's presentation, we would provide some of the techniques that we had collected while working with large models. Now, these would be very much essential for anyone creating models using sensor technology. And we would start. So we would start with a short introduction of concept modeling, and then move on to some of the aspects of memory management, batch operations, suppressed SSE notification, LP matrix representation, then the different layers of CFlex API, and then we will wrap it up, kind of thing. So this is going to be the agenda for today. Let's move on to the next slide. Slide 3, please. So let's start with a small introduction of concept modeling. So it's going to be a general and short introduction about what concept modeling is. Slide 4, please. So before we move on to concept technology, let's take a brief look at the IBM iLog CFlex Optimization Studio, which is an integral part of the concept technology. The CFlex Studio has the IDE for model building, debugging, and tuning. It uses the optimization programming language, or in short, OPL, for modeling. Now, it also has the IBM iLog script, which is a scripting language for pre- and post-processing of data and solutions and flow control of data. The model created are solved using the CFlex optimizer engine, and it has the capability for solving mathematical problems using the MP optimizer and the constraint programming problems using the CP optimizer. It also has many convenient features for connecting to database, spreadsheet, and other things, and etc. The other feature of Opal API is, apart from creating models, it also helps in providing APIs for integrating with external applications. Thus, it helps with customization of your models. On the stack on the right side, that is how the CPLEX optimization studio looks like. You have Opal on the top, which is the language on which the model will be created, and then you have the iLog scripts. Below that, then the CPLEX optimizer, which would solve the models that were created, and you can see your solution in different views, in tabular form or different GAN form, and also the connectivity to different applications and databases and spreadsheets that are also available for the suite. Let's move on to the next slide. Slide 5, please. So now let's move on with CPLEX with Concert technology. The main features are that they are intuitive and express high-level modeling of problems. Now, it allows for the separation of models and algorithms and provides for faster development of mathematical problems. The Concert technology provides three versions depending upon the version of the language that you are using. So we have a C++ version with access to all frequently used features from C++. And it has a Java version, and it also has, and the Java version uses the Java native interface space. So the programmer doesn't have to know the C++ API, which provides a wrapper for the C++ API, and only has to know the Java language. And we also have the C# version, which provides for the .NET framework. Let's move on to the next slide, slide 6, please. Now, this is a snapshot of the models that are created using the Concert API. As you can see, the models are created. The first line is where the model object is created, and then second few lines are where the variables are declared for that, and there is a maximize objective function which maximizes the object on that. So it's pretty much very helpful for any programmer, and it's very self-explanatory and easy to code and understand it. So it provides ease of learning to a programmer. It's easy to develop a code to the way that he understands the logic. So let's move on to the next slide, slide 7, please. So that is a brief introduction of how the CPLEX Studio works and how the Concert APIs are used to create a model kind of thing. Now, the main agenda for this presentation was to provide more on in-depth knowledge on how the techniques that we have learned while working with these models to make it work more efficiently kind of. So let's start with some of the tips on memory management. So let's move on to slide 8. Slide 8, please. Now, all CPLEX and Concert objects needs to be associated to an environment object. Like when they are declared in the model, they need to be associated to the environment object. And in the C++ API, it's called ILO ENV. In Java API, it's ILO CPLEX, and CPLEX in the .NET API. So the environment is something like a collection of all the objects for the whole model. For example, as depicted in the diagram, like the ILO, the outer box is the ILO environment, which encompasses all the variables declared, all the variables, so ILO number were the variables, the range, and the objective function for that. So it can, for the whole model, the ILO environment comprises of all the variables declared for that one. So let's move on to the next slide, slide 9, please. In Concert, most modeling objects are implemented as two classes. Like there is a handle class and there is an implementation class. Now the handle class contains only one data member, which is an instance to a corresponding to an instance of the corresponding implementation class. It just points to an to the implementation class. Now, the implementation class contains all the data members for the life of an object, and also all the methods and data are implemented in the implementation class. Now, the handle class can be thought of something like a wrapper class on the implementation class. So all the data and implementation are in the implementation class, and the handle class is just appointed to that one. And there is a one-on-one mapping between the handle class and the implementation class. The advantage of this is it reducing the code complexity in the handle class, and also the space occupied. The handle class doesn't occupy that much space and helps with memory management. Let's move on to the next slide. Slide 10, please. Now, the question arises like, why do you have to have two handle classes kind of thing? So when you have two, if you do not have two classes, like a handle class and an implementation class, the upper part of the slide depicts how it would be looking. Like you have an object, and suppose when you're creating a copy of the object, the whole copy of the object needs to be made. In the second part, you can see the slide depicts how when you have a handle class and an implementation class, and when you're creating a copy, you're creating a copy of the handle class, and the copy of the handle class would be pointing to the implementation class. And so any changes made to the so you're directly actually working on the implementation class even when you're creating a copy, any number of multiple copies of the handle class. And also, even you're in the first part, like when you have to create a copy of the whole object, it occupies the same amount of space. So space is the handle class actually doesn't occupy that much space, so that helps in reducing, and also in reducing less, I mean, you can free up more memory that way, and also it avoids the hassles of pointer handling for the user. So this is one of the biggest advantages of using a separation of handle class and an implementation class. Now let's move on to the next slide, slide 11, please. Now that's like having separation of between handle class and implementation class, but in a concept we have some of these objects which do not have those implementation. Now, as seen in the previous slide, a copy of the object is made, then the full copy of, when a copy of the object is made, the full copy of the object needs to be created, and it occupies space too. So any change to the copy will not affect the original object. So these objects like ILO, EXPR, ILO num column, ILO insert, the whole copy, each would be a separate copy. So it is recommended to keep one single and unique handle to each of these modeling objects. And these are critical when you're using, for example, when passing as parameters to a method. So once the new objects are created, the original objects needs to be deleted, as only one object exists and changes are made into that. And also it helps to save memory. It frees up memory and then helps with memory management. Let's move on to slide 12. Slide 12, please. So that's how you can do memory management with the Concert APIs. Now, when you're freeing up your how to free up the memory to provide more, to get more memory on the program, is one of the way is, so a better way to ensure that all the memory used by the objects are freed is by using the end method on the environment objects. So for a beginning programmer, this is a better way to ensure memory management instead of calling the end method on the Cplex object and the Concert object separately. Because when there are multiple instantiations from the same program, if not done correctly, it can cause memory leaks. And so so when calling the ending the environment object would help with debugging the problem. In C++ API, each concert modeling object has to be entered by invoking the end method. And in Java and .NET APIs, when you free the Cplex object, it will free both the unmanaged heap as well as the managed heap. So these are some of the techniques of how you can efficiently program the code so that memory can be managed efficiently, and you can free up memory and make the program run faster kind of thing. Now, let me pass this on back to Guang, who would be covering the rest of the modeling techniques. Let's move on to slide 13. And Guang, please.
Okay, thank you, Anisha. And thanks for joining us for this presentation. And I'm going to be covering the rest part of this presentation. So now I'm going to be covering the topic about constant overloaded operators actually create objects. Slide number 14, please. Okay, the idea is that Constant API implemented the operator overloading for the modeling objects mainly to make it convenient and easy for the programmer to write models strictly in the code. So, for example, we have a line here that c dot add x minus y less than or equal to 0. This basically means that someone is trying to add a constraint x minus y less than 0 to a model or a constraint array just by using this single line. But however, when this single line is being actually executed, there are several steps involved. In the first step, the constant will firstly create an expression object, x minus y. And then the constant will create another object, or range object, to represent x minus y less than or equal to 0. And then at the third step, the range object will be added back to the model or maybe the constraint array, depending on which object you're calling the add-on. This is basically the idea how the single line is going to be executed and how you can use it to write your model. So you can see the code are are more readable, and they are easier to write, and basically they're also easier to maintain in the future. But however, we have to highlight one single fact, is that the same operator being overloaded can actually be used to create different types of objects. Now, on the bottom of the slide, we're trying to show two ways to write basically the same constraint. One of them is to write as c dot add x less than or equal to y, and the other one is x minus y less than or equal to 0. And we also show the two of the operator overloading there. And you can see that based on the data type on the same side of the same operator are different in the two way of writing them. The different operator implementation is going to be used. So you can see that there are actually two types of objects being created. The first one will be creating LO constraint object, and the next one will be creating LO range object. Slide number 15, please. While the slightly different object types are usually okay and doesn't really make a huge difference, but however, practically in some of the use cases, we can see there are some subtle differences. So, for example, in the function getDuals for the LO Cplex API, what you can see is that it only accepts LO range objects but not really LO constraint objects. So what we are trying to do here is to highlight that even for the same operator overloading, when you are trying to write the expression in different ways, sometimes they are going to be creating slightly different objects. And when you are trying to see some surprising results, when you are trying to compile or maybe running your code, you should be think about this possibility. And when you know it, the resolution is very simple. You can basically try to avoid this problem by rearranging the terms. And from my personal experience, I would suggest that you try to group all the variable terms on one side. And maybe you can try to either put the right-hand side as 0 or maybe another constant. I think that is usually more compatible in most of the use cases. Slide number 16, please. Okay, now I'm moving to the next topic, which will perform similar operations in batch. Slide number 17. Okay, one of the very important facts we want to highlight here is each concert function call inevitably will incur some overhead. So one of the very easy to understand one is the data consistency check. So for example, if you try to pass in some element, for example, that doesn't really belong exactly to this environment, it will be raising some sort of alarm. And the next one is a slightly different and slightly less known fact is that if you try to modify your problem or your model, the associated simplex engine will have to be notified to make sure that when you are trying to use the simplex engine next time to solve this model again, all the modifications you have made to the original model object will be taken account into the processing before it is able to process it correctly and give you the correct results. So this is sometimes a very important aspect, and sometimes this can create a lot of the overhead. And the third case is a little bit more well-known for the programmers, but might not really going to be very well-known for the simplex users, is that the overhead is usually more significant when the function calls are actually crossing the boundary of memory management. I think we have mentioned earlier that in the Java or the .NET API, the language itself will have a managed heap, and simplex actually operated in an unmanaged heap. So when we are trying to call simplex functions from Java or .NET, sometimes you will have to pass data from one side to another and vice versa. So for that kind of message passing or data passing, the overhead is much more significant compared to the case when trying to, let's say, use the simplex C++ API and try to pass information to the C part of the implementation, then pass the results back. And another example we have often seen is the calling simplex from the MATLAB part, because we are trying to pass data from the MATLAB memory space to the simplex and then get the results back, but they are also going to be cost using more time and memory than the conventional ways. So now we are trying to give a very important suggestion, which is to use batch operations to improve the efficiency to reduce the aggregated overhead. So let's use an example about try to query the variable value after the optimization, let's say for 100 variables. If you try to do it one by one, you will have to, let's say from the, okay, assuming we're trying to do that from the Java space, and then we are trying to do that, you will have to cross the Java and managed heap and unmanaged heap. You have to cross boundary 100 times if you just do it one by one. But however, when you're trying to use the batch mode, you only need to cross it once only. Although for the one time of the crossing, the actual amount of data to be passed from and to would be a little bit more than the one element mode. But however, overall, the time saved would be much more significant than the slightly expensive one-time call. Slide number 18, please. So given that idea in mind, and we're trying to tell you some of the ways Simplex offers the batch mode in the function and APIs. So the first one Simplex and Concert used would be try to use function overloading to make sure that the function itself will accept both single element and also array of element. So here we're trying to use the example of arrow model add. You can see that for the two signatures, the add function accept one single extractable element alone, or you can also try to supply a extractable array. And the model will be handling it based on the input type, and then it will try to handle it automatically. And another very common approach is to offer a pair of functions, one without a S and another one with a S. So here we're trying to give you an example. For the arrow simplex object, we have two functions, getValue and getValues. And very often, you can see it is very obvious that getValue is mainly intended to be used to query the value for one single element, and getValues is usually used to query the result for an array of elements. Actually, there are a lot of similar function pairs in the APIs, and you can try to read the details to get more ideas. And the third part is that we also have some functions explicitly designed to handle the batch mode. So for example, for the extractable array object, it has a batch mode function to end all the elements within the extractable array. This is called end elements. And we also have some other functions, for example, lsum and lscalar product. Those two functions to handle some of the batch operations whenever we find it going to be more convenient. Slide number 19, please. On slide number 19, we're trying to give you an example about showing you how to use this approach. In this example, we're trying to end the binary variables from a variable array. So supposing we have a model M and a variable array X, we're trying to show two implementations here. And the one we're going to be showing first is going to be more efficient, which is to try to create a temporary variable array, and then we try to scan through the original variable array and check it's the variable type one by one. Once we find that it's actually a binary variable, instead of trying to end it immediately as shown in the later part, we try to add the variable to the temporary array object and try to hold a record, but we don't do anything yet. We just finished the scanning through of the whole array. After that, we call the end element batch mode of the variable array object and try to finish everything just in one function call. This is going to be more efficient comparing to the implementation we showed later, which is basically simply end the single element one by one whenever we find that it's binary. I think one of the commonly raised concern is that the so-called more efficient approach will require a temporary array comparing to the less efficient approach. But however, from our practical experience, the overhead to construct a temporary array and try to hold the references to the objects, this overhead is relatively much, much less significant than the amount of time and maybe memory you can save from this approach. These are usually worth effort, and you shouldn't be have to be worrying about too much unless the size of the array is very small and you're only doing it on a couple of elements. Slide number 20, please. In this slide number 20, we're trying to show another example of batch mode, which is try to add a scalar product to a model. So the first implementation is less efficient because it is a very straightforward way of iterating through the array of the variables and the coefficients, try to build a product and try to sum them up. In this approach, it will create a lot of intermediate elements and objects, and essentially you only get one single expression and use that expression to construct a model. But actually, there is a much easier shortcut, which is to use lscalar product function, which will be constructing the expression straight away and avoid a lot of intermediate steps. I also want to highlight one thing is that those type of constraints can also be modeled using the LP matrix API, which will be introduced later in this presentation. Slide number 21, please. Okay, the next topic we want to discuss is about suppress the excessive notifications by deleting the CPLEX object. Slide 22, please. As we have discussed earlier, that the CPLEX object will have to be notified whenever the model is being changed. So previously we have mentioned that you should perform similar operations in batch, which often helps this whole approach. Let's say suppress the amount of notifications to be sent to the CPLEX object. But however, we have seen in some of the situation that there is a limit about what you can do when you are trying to group the operations into batch. Sometimes you still have a lot of batch operations even after you have do that batch operation consolidation. So sometimes we still observe that it is faster to end the CPLEX object to try to suppress the notifications, and then we try to add the CPLEX object, try to create a new CPLEX object, and I try to extract the model again, basically, to try to avoid the excessive notifications. Here, we are not trying to argue that this is always going to be good or maybe always going to be more efficient. But however, when you are trying to program a very large model and when you are trying to do a very large amount of problem modifications, we want to highlight that this is actually one of the possibility in your implementation, and maybe this is something you can try to use, let's say, if the performance is very critical in your overall application. Slide number 23, please. Okay, now we will be discussing the LP matrix representation, which is supposed to be more efficient than the constrained array approach. Slide number 24, please. The LP matrix representation is more efficient than the constrained array is because matrix representation is very compact. So, for example, in this simple diagram, what you can see is that each column shown in this diagram represent one thing. Each column represents one each variable, and each row represents one constraint. So with this approach, you are actually using a very large and a gigantic two-dimensional array to avoid having all the excessive modeling elements such as LO range objects to be accumulating and LO expression objects to be accumulating into your memory and try to create a lot of intermediate objects. This is actually a very compact way, and it can actually even be even more compacted by using a sparse array representation approach. Because of the fact that very often for each constraint, a lot of the variables will have a coefficient of zero, which means that they don't really participate in this constraint. This will be further optimizing the size of the array and try to reduce the memory footprint even further. And one thing I can share with you is that before solving a model, actually all constraints will be eventually converted into this format, somehow into this in this step. And the last thing I want to highlight is that the LP matrix API are only available in Java and the .NET API, and it is not really available in the C++ because C++ itself so far is reasonably efficient, and we don't really see any immediate demand for that yet. Slide number 25, please. So the LP matrix API will have two classes. It is the same classes, but with different names in the two APIs. It is LP matrix in the Java API and LP matrix in the .NET API. Note that you can use it in C# or maybe Visual Basic for .NET or maybe any other programming language that is compatible with .NET environment. So this is not really restricted to C#. So we have shown earlier that it is more memory efficient than having arrays of LO constraint, LO range, just because it actually suppressed a lot of the intermediate objects and tried to use a very specific and a very compact array structure to represent all the intermediate objects and to avoid all those overheads. And this one can also avoid some of the common pitfalls we have been discussed in this presentation, because the way of this presentation because of the way the presentation in the LP matrix of this constraints limited the possibilities that you can use to program your code. So it avoids a lot of the issues. For the very large models, LP matrix API can be eventually proven to be the best choice, even though this is a little bit more cumbersome to program. Actually, we have seen in several cases from the customers that when they really need a very high memory efficient program, let's say, for example, for a very limited amount of memory, they have to have so big amount of constraints and variables eventually all of them actually moved to the RP Matrix API because of its very high memory efficiency. And the last part of the point we want to highlight is that it is possible to add more than one LP matrix object to the model. But however, for the best performance, we would suggest that you just use one and only one LP matrix object for each model, just to make sure that you are avoiding the other unnecessary overhead when you are trying to write a model and when CPLEX tries to extract all the model elements and try to construct the final version of the model. Slide number 26, please. Now we're trying to discuss a slightly higher level topic, which is about different layers of the Concert API, and we hope that you are able to get some ideas out of this presentation regarding how the internally, how they are related to each other and how everything is being implemented, and maybe give you a better idea about the decision of the choice of the API to use. Slide number 27, please. Here is a brief diagram that we have summarized based on the internal implementation of the different APIs available in the for CPLEX. And based on the relationship, we are trying to divide them into three layers. And you can see that we're trying to show how the data are being how the data are being processed from one layer to another, and basically the arrows show the direction. So you can see the data will have to be passed from the top layer to the bottom layer, and the result will be passed from the bottom layer to the top layer, one by one. And one very important thing you have to remember is that information at each layer will have to be processed before passing to the next one, and each layer would still require some overhead, although sometimes the overhead is smaller and sometimes the overhead is big. So for example, the CPLEX C++ API to CPLEX callable libraries, this level of the overhead is relatively small comparing to the CPLEX Java or .NET API to the CPLEX callable libraries. Slide number 28, please. Now we are trying to zoom into different layers and try to give you some pointers regarding how they are working. So now we are zooming into the CPLEX callable libraries. The CPLEX callable library have all the core functionality of modeling, model building, and optimization. And basically, this is one of the parts that have the most fundamental thing. And this is actually the place where you have the most complete feature of the CPLEX. The CPLEX callable libraries are also most efficient in terms of programming and runtime, because eventually, whenever you are trying to use another one, the other layers will have to do some processing at their layer before they are trying to pass the information to the callable libraries layer. So this is the most thin layer, but however, because of the limitation of the C language itself, it actually requires more programming effort. So sometimes people don't really want to touch this one when the ease of programming is a big concern. Slide number 29, please. Okay, in this slide, we are trying to discuss the second layer. Now we are touching the actual concert, because callable libraries are considered to be one layer below the concert library. The CPLEX connector and the CPLEX APIs we're representing here are considered as, you can consider them as wrappers of the callable library functions with some additional modeling capabilities and some convenience routines. So these modeling capabilities are designed more for the convenience of the user to write models rather than something that is going to be critical in terms of functionality. So for example, you can write the piecewise linear functions very easily in the concert layer, and also you will have something like automatic linearization. For example, you can have logical constraints in your model, which are not really going to be possible to be expressed directly in the CPLEX callable library, such as absolute value of expression, which can be used directly in the concert API, but not really in the callable libraries. You will have to do a lot of the manual linearization if you choose to stay at the callable libraries layer. However, because of the convenience they don't really come free, but there's a cost, which is it is less efficient in terms of memory and speed. And one thing we also want to highlight here is that all these connectors are the wrappers that we are providing from the from our side. But however, it is also possible for the end user to be writing a custom layer yourself to wrap the CPLX libraries. This might be useful for you in some scenarios. So, for example, if you try to solve a model and you are not really requiring too much information, but except maybe the final results, let's say just maybe a optimization value or maybe a few variable values. In that case, you can actually consider this design to write every single thing in the callable libraries layer and try to use a custom layer that will try to wrap your own code and try to retrieve the final result out from the from your own extension, so that you are only trying to manage a few interactions instead of trying to use CPLX to manage all the interactions. This sometimes can be more efficient, but however, practically we can see that most of the customers will still use the CPLX native APIs for the ease, and basically the main advantage is that we do a lot of QE and debugging, so we make sure that the implementation from our side are fine. Slide number 30, please. Here we try to demonstrate the idea of ease of coding for the CPLX concert and the CPLX callable libraries. So the top part of the slide will show you a simple example how you can write some code in the with the concert technology. Note that with operator overloading, you can see the idea is very expressive and the constraints can be read directly and very straightforwardly. But however, in the lower part of this slide, you can see the way you need to do the similar thing exactly in the callable libraries part. So you can see that there are a lot of the manual and the relatively ugly coding here required, and it is not really very easy to tell what exactly you are trying to write. So although it is more efficient to be using the callable libraries, but this is the reason why people still consider using Concert most of the time, especially when they are able to tolerate some of the minor overhead from their perspective. Slide number 31, please. Here, I want to bring a third layer into the discussion, which is the CPLX Java.NET API from the OPPO layer. So I think there might be some confusion and the lesser known fact that there are actually two implementations of CPLX Java and .NET API available in the CPLX Optimization Studio. You can see that on the second layer, we have a CPLX Java.NET API implementation, but from the CPLX side. And we also have another one from the OPPO side, which actually used a different hierarchy that is actually have some minor differences from the original CPLX one. We have this issue because the two APIs used to be different, and they used to be different products, so they have different design. There are some minor differences that I want to highlight. One of them is that some of the features are not really available in the OPPO version, but they are available in the CPLX version. So one of the most significant one is LP matrix interface. So if you need to use the LP matrix interface, if you think that is more important and more dominating for your whole application, you should be considering using the CPLX, the original CPLX implementation of the Concert API. And the other thing we want to highlight is that a class of the same name from the two implementations might have different implementation inside from these two different packages. So the idea is that if you try to mix the files from open CPLX directories, it will cause a lot of runtime confusion, and we don't really recommend the customers to be using that approach, and actually we don't really support that approach. So whenever you try to decide which API you need to use, you will have to stick to that. So if you just try to stick to the OPPO API, you will have to be using the OPPO AllJR and OPPO AllDLL. And if you think the OPPO feature is not that critical for you, and if you just want to use the Cplex features directly, and then you should be using the Cplex.jr and the iloc.cplex.dll for your coding purpose. Slide number 32, please. Okay. Because we have several APIs available for you to choose from, so there is a question about which API you should be choosing, and this is sometimes is more important, and because a wise decision here will be ease a lot of the troubles you will be seeing in the future. We do understand that very often the choice of API is limited. For example, if you have an application server deployment environment, you can only use the one that is compatible, that's going to be compatible with the server. So for the Java servers, you probably can only use Java, or maybe for the .NET servers, you can only use the .NET programming languages. But however, whenever there's more than one option, I think we want to highlight some of the dimensions you should be thinking about before you can make your final decision. The first one is about whether the application needs to be using some advanced features. So from the model perspective, for example, if you need high-level advanced features like export node LP, this functionality is only available in the callable libraries. So if this functionality is really critical for you, you'll probably have to stick to the callable library API. But on the other hand, if you think the OPPO database connectivity feature is very important for you, and then you should be only using the OPPO API, and you shouldn't be using any other ones because you're going to be losing that part of the functionality. And the other thing you'll want to think about is how the model generation efficiency is going to be critical, because callable libraries are usually more efficient. However, as we have shown earlier, that they are much more difficult to program. So that is why we're showing the third dimension, as the ease of coding is also going to be critical. Slide number 33, please. Here we want to present a high-level summary or the comparison of several possibilities that are available in the Cplex Optimization Studio, and we want to discuss it one by one. So for example, for the model implementation and the maintenance, the implementation is really hard at the callable library, and it requires more skills, but Consort is going to be one step easier, and OPPO is going to be the easiest one because it doesn't require any explicit programming experience. You can just try to write some simple code, and you can just try to solve the model without even writing a single line of code. And for example, for the problem modification and hot starts, OPPO is going to be very difficult because OPPO will handle a lot of things internally, so a lot of the structures and internal elements are not being exposed. On the other hand, callable library is going to be the easiest one because you will have to do a lot of the things yourself. For example, the linearization efforts will have to be done manually, so everything is going to be exposed to the end user, and you can try to control them very easily. For example, branch and bound customization, it is going to be easy in the Consort level, but it is slightly harder in the callable library. Or, for example, for the matrix algorithm, for the OPPO part, it is going to be difficult, but however, in the callable library part, it is slightly easier. And memory, as we have discussed earlier, that OPPO would be having the highest amount of memory overhead, and probably also the runtime part. But however, callable library has the most efficient way of managing the memory and in terms of model generation. Slide number 34, please. Okay, now we want to conclude this presentation, and we want to provide some higher-level summary of this discussion. We discussed some of the Consort implementation details, including the IO environment, the whole concept of the environment, and the two-class approach of implementing the objects. We also discussed the tips on the Consort memory management And we also discussed some of the tips to improve the efficiency of concept modeling. Especially, I think the choice of APIs is also going to be critical, because very often, if you try to use a slightly different version of the API, in the future, you might see some bigger troubles when you try to increase the size of a problem, and then eventually you will be having some inevitably overhead being placed because of the constraint being in the design of the API. Slide number 35, please. Here we try to outline some of the technos and documentation resources that are relevant in this presentation, to this presentation. So the first three links are the concert technology tutorials for the three different implementations of the concert libraries. And the first one will be a very important technique on the concert best practices. And it highlights some of the points here we have discussed. And of course, in this presentation, we discussed a slightly bigger boundary than the original tech note. And the last one is a collection of all the presentation of the IBM iLog Cplex Operator Studio and the IBM iLog ODM Enterprise presentations. And you can always refer back to this tech note whenever you want to review some of the old presentations, or maybe you want to find some other useful ones. Slide number 36, please. We want to highlight that there are some further iLog optimization support resources. For example, we are on Facebook. When we are on YouTube, you can reach us on Facebook and YouTube by using the two URLs shown above. And don't forget about the IBM support portal, where you can find a lot of useful information. And you can try to find a lot of answers and the questions, basically from the from our support requests. Number 37, please. We have some additional WebSphere product resources. So, for example, you can check the upcoming WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast and try to find the previously recorded presentations on the first link. And you can also try to discover the latest trend in WebSphere technology and the implementation, and try to participate in technically focused briefing webcasts and the podcast by using the second link to the community. You can also join a bigger global WebSphere community on the third link. You can find some demos and tutorials by IBM Education Assistant on the fourth link. If you have troubles with the opening service request, you can find a demo or webcast showing you how to do it step by step on the fifth link. And lastly, it is a link for you to sign up the weekly technical my notifications emails, which is going to be giving you a lot of the up-to-date information every week. And now I'm turning this presentation to Valerie.
Thank you so much, Anisha and Guan, for a great presentation. That concludes the presentation portion of today's session. Before we get to the question and answer session, there are a few short survey questions about the presentation. Four questions will appear in the web conference. Your participation is greatly appreciated. Question number one, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The information presented today was valuable to me. Question number two, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. Question 3. Did this call meet your training expectations? And the last question, how did you hear about this technical exchange? Finally, remember to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. We welcome any ideas you may have. Moving on to the question and answer session, I would like to remind you that for those of you who joined us via the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. And I see we have at least one question lined up for us to answer in a moment. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will also address questions in the group chat. Keep in mind that today's session is being recorded and will be posted on the Support Technical Exchange website. When asking questions, do not include any information, any confidential information, your name or company name that you do not want shared publicly. And we're moving to the question and answer session now.
This conference is now in question and answer mode. To alert the speaker that you have a question, press 1, then 0.
I do not see that we have any questions on the line, but I do see that we have a question in the group chat. Gwan or Anisha, would you like to read the question and handle the question from Herman?
Okay. We have a question here. The question is asking, is LP matrix representation exclusively to linear programs? And what about the mixed integer programs? And I can confirm that the LP matrix representation is going to be available for both linear programs and mixed integer programs, because everything different would be the variable type, and basically the LP representation is not really very specific to the continuous variables or discrete variables. Basically, it is compatible with both, so they are available to both type of programs. I hope this answers the question.
Are there any additional questions? Well, I do not see any additional questions. Before closing, I would like to invite you to join the Industry Solutions Client Success Essentials community. This new community is intended as one site with all the support links you need. It brings together users of IBM software to share, collaborate, and connect with each other virtually and socially. In this community, you'll find training videos, upcoming events, blogs, important web links, and more. This community provides a single site for you to easily find support information regardless of where it is located, highlighting specific programs of interest to you. I still see we have no additional questions. So at this time, we will conclude the web conference. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange website. Remember, within a few days, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site. Thank you. This concludes the webcast. You may disconnect now.